Give da'wat ila Allah, those who invite to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our akabirin, they have mentioned six things which we need to avoid, whoever invites towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And essentially, each and every single one of us, we are da'is, whether we like it, whether we don't. But we are all inviters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our akabirin, they've mentioned six things that as da'is, as people who call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and call towards anything which is related to Allah, related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are six things that we need to avoid. And they all start with the Arabic letter ghain. Each one of them, they start with the Arabic letter ghain. So first and foremost, the akabirin, they have said that avoid ghulu. Avoid ghulu. La taghlu fi dinikum. Do not be excessive in your deen. Do not cross the limits of religion. Because if you cross the limits of religion, then this is not really religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this, that do not do ghulu in deen. Banu Israel, they were guilty of doing ghulu in deen. They would ask many questions until it became difficult for them to follow. And this would have entered into the companions as well. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he made the Hajj fard, when it became fard, someone asked that, is it fard, is it mandatory every single year? So the Prophet ﷺ said that if I say yes, then it would be. So don't ask me questions where I would have to respond and it would be difficult for you to follow. So we should not do ghulu, we should not be excessive in deen. This is a habit of each and every single one of us, that we ask more than we need to. And then when we receive the response and it is unsatisfactory, then we don't follow it. So then what is the point of even asking? We ask, we go ask the scholar, we get the response, but it is not favorable. So what happens then is that that person, he's just going to do what he wants to do. So from the beginning, from the get-go, from the outset, do not do ghulu in deen. Number one. Number two, Ghil, rancor, enmity, hatred, rancor, ghil. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions, لا تجعل في قلوبنا غِلًّا للذين آمنوا. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That do not place in our hearts rancor, hatred for each other. As a da'i, we cannot have hatred for anyone. As Muslims, we cannot have hatred for anyone. And as I said, each and every single Muslim, whether we like it, whether we don't, we are all da'is. So we cannot have hatred for any single person. That person may be guilty of great sins, but we cannot have hatred for him. If we have hatred for him, then we are not da'i. We cannot be a good da'i if we have hatred for anyone because of that person's sin or because of that person's attitude. Then we will always be focused on that specific trait of that person. And we cannot fulfill the duty which is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is calling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we cannot have rancor, we cannot have ghil in our hearts. Number three, ghurur. Ghurur, pride. We cannot have pride. Those who call, this is a privilege from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Da'is, being a da'i, being an inviter to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a privilege. This is not our right. This is a privilege. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take the effort of deen from anyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take the effort of deen from any. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used non-Muslims to convey and to disseminate deen and Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need us. So we should not have ghurur. We should not have pride in our hearts when we invite people towards Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, لَا تُسَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ, that don't act in front of people as if you are great. Do not act in front of people as if you are great. Just because you occupy a certain position, you occupy a certain post, that does not mean that you are better than a certain individual. That person is a human being, you are a human being. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will be buried in the grave in a similar manner. Eventually, whatever you are wearing, this will be removed. This will be removed. It will decompose. You will decompose. So we are all the same in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as da'is, as people who call towards Islam, we cannot have ghurur, we cannot have pride. If we have pride, then we cannot be da'is. If we think that we are better than someone because I am a da'i and I am calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's message, then this has a very detrimental effect. Not only on us, but on those surrounding us as well. So we cannot have ghurur, we cannot have pride. Number four, ghafla. We cannot be oblivious to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in so many places in the Quran, لَا تَكُنْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. Do not be from amongst those who are ghafil, oblivious, not aware of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to be aware of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Not only in the masjid. Not only in the masjid. Usually we are only aware of the commands in the masjid. But nowadays that's not the case. Nowadays, not only are we unaware of the commands outside, but also in the masjid as well. We are unaware and oblivious to the commands of the masjid. And how are we supposed to behave in the masjid? So ghafla, do not be ghafil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not be ghafil. We cannot afford to be ghafil. We need to be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, at all intervals. Do not be ghafil. Number five, ghibah. Ghibah, backbiting. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith says, "Al-ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina." Once we do ghibah, if we backbite in any way, in any form, backbiting is not limited to speaking about someone. Even by gesture, by imitating someone, this is also backbiting. This is also haram and prohibited. And especially backbiting to make someone else laugh. This is in all of us. We all have this habit. Backbiting to make someone laugh, this is also haram and inappropriate. We immediately need to seek forgiveness from that person. It's better that we repay our debts now rather than wait till Qiyamah. On the day of Qiyamah, we won't have enough to repay our debts. We will not have enough. No one will have enough to repay the debts. Our akabirin, they've said, it's impossible for a person, if we go by the law of averages, it's impossible for a person to have more sins than khairat and good deeds. It's impossible. Sins are only, they are written as one. But good deeds, they're multiplied manifold. So how is it possible for a person to go in Jahannam? The only thing that comes to mind is that person was not mindful of hukuk and the rights of others. This is the reason why many people will enter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will admit them into Jahannam. So ghibah. As da'is, as people who call towards Islam, we cannot backbite anyone. And we should not backbite anyone. And last, the sixth, is ghaliz al-qalb. That we cannot have anger. We cannot be angry. Ghussa. We cannot be angry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he's mentioned what happened in the battle of Uhud. The Sahaba, they disobeyed a command. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that it is because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are lenient with them. If you were harsh and ghaliz al-qalb, you were angry with them, then they would have dispersed from you. They would have ran away from you. They would not have listened to you. It was this mu'asharat that the Prophet ﷺ inculcated. And he had this concept of joining each and every single person. It started with him. The concept of mu'asharat, the concept of being social with each and every single person, began with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I've mentioned this before and I will say it again. The branches of faith are five. Aqaid, number one. That our aqaid regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be correct. Our belief upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be correct. Meaning that we need to remove shirk-e jali. We don't have shirk-e jali, but shirk-e khafi. Shirk-e jali is idolatry. It's straight up idolatry. Shirk-e khafi is that we perform our good deeds for some materialistic gain. Either by coming to the masjid, inadvertently we are showing off ostentation. Being ostentatious in our ibadat, in our giving, sadaqah, charity, doing many hajj, our fasting. Some people, they inadvertently, they display ostentatiousness. That, oh, guest has come to the house. Oh, you know, bring me the khajur that I brought from my first hajj. Why do you have to say that? Why do you have to say that, bring me the khajur from the first hajj? Why do you have to tell people that you've been to hajj? You don't have to tell anyone. Now that hajj has now become tarnished. The hajj has become tarnished. There's no more sincerity there. This is why many of the scholars, they began their great works with the hadith which is commonly heard. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. That all actions are predicated upon sincerity. Whatever we do, it is predicated and it is based on sincerity. So they would always have correct intention. We must have correct intention in all of our worships. Whether it is salat, we should examine that, is this for the sake of Allah? Our charity, our fasting, our hajj, any kind of ibadat, it should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we cannot afford on the Day of Judgment to ask someone else. That someone else will not be able to give us the reward if we're doing it for any kind of materialistic gain. It is impossible. So Aqidah needs to be correct. Ibadat. Our ibadat, they need to improve. And the way that the ibadat will improve is by acquiring ilm. Because what is the purpose of ibadat? Purpose of ibadat is to gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the function of ibadat. This is what ibadat does. And I've mentioned that the nawafil, we can say that the faraid, they are the nucleus. And the nawafil, it is the membrane. This is what the nawafil are. They protect the nucleus. And I also mentioned that sometimes nawafil is more afdal. It is more meritorious than the faraid. At times. Generally speaking, the faraid, they are more meritorious than the nawafil. But sometimes the nawafil, they are more better than the fard. And the two examples that Hazrat Maulana Ilyasar Rahmatullah Alayh has given is zakat and sadaqah. Zakat is farz, right? Or sadaqah, hadiyah. This is not farz. Hadiyah is not farz. It's mustahab. It's nafal. But the reward of hadiyah is greater than the reward of zakat. Why? Rasulullah ﷺ was prohibited from taking zakat, but he wasn't prohibited from taking hadiyah. He wasn't prohibited from taking hadiyah. Zakat is fard. We give it to the poor person. We give our zakat to the poor Muslim. And what happens? That person becomes happy. We don't have to mention that it is zakat. This is not a prerequisite to mention that this is zakat money. We give it, the person becomes happy. Hadiyah, the person becomes happy. So the end result is the same. But why is hadiyah greater than zakat? Because the maqsood, the purpose of hadiyah is tibe qalb, tatibe qalb. It is to make someone happy. The purpose of zakat is not tatibe qalb. It is not to make someone happy. The purpose of zakat is purification of your wealth. So from this we can understand that the hukuk of ibad is more greater than the hukuk of Allah. See this? The hukuk of ibad is greater than the hukuk of Allah. Sunnah. Another example that Mawlana Ilyasa rahmatullahi has given. Salam. Salam is sunnah. When we give salam, this is sunnah. The response is fard. The response, if someone gives us salam, then we respond, that response that we give, this is fard. It is mandatory. But the sunnah act of initiating the salam, this is more afdal, and this is more meritorious than the fard act of the response. Why? Because this is the hukuk. You are fulfilling a haq, you are fulfilling a right. You are greeting that person. And then there are so many merits and fada'il related to the person who gives salam first. Al-badiu bis salam bari'u min al-kibr. The one that who initiates the salam, he is free of pride. This is guarantee. This is a guarantee. That he is free of pride. Pride leads to so many things. Pride leads to so many evils. It leads to so many kharafat. It destroys people. Pride destroys people. And it was pride and vanity that destroyed shaitan. And it is because of pride and vanity that he will be admitted into Jahannam. It is because of that. So our ibadat, our fara'id, they need to improve. And our nawafil need to improve. So our ibadat related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must improve. The third thing, the third branch is mu'asharat. Our social interactions, not only with one another, with our wives, with our children, with our mother, with our father, with anyone non-Muslims. This needs to be corrected. How did the Prophet ﷺ, how did he interact with the Sahaba? So many examples in Hayatul Sahaba. There are so many examples. There's a whole chapter in Hayatul Sahaba dedicated. Mawlana Yusuf Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi has devoted an entire chapter towards how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what kind of social interactions he had with the Sahaba. He used to go out of his way to please his companions. Prophet going out of his way to please the companions. There's a story. Hazrat Jarir bin Abdullah, he came to the majlis of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was sitting. Masjid Nabawi was very small, so it was full. The masjid was full. There was no place to sit. And our majma, if we go to a massive majma, sometimes we don't even get space. You know, we're standing up. No one gives us space because no one wants to be all squished up and scrunched up together. No one wants that. So we never give anyone space. And worse than that is if you go into any of the harams, it's even worse over there. No one will give you space anytime. No one is going to give you space. So this was Masjid Nabawi. This was the majlis of the Prophet ﷺ. And Jarir ibn Abdullah, he had just come in. Rasulullah ﷺ saw from afar, from a distance he saw. And he had his chadar. He had his shawl. He could not cross the majlis. So he wrapped it up, right, made it into some kind of ball, and threw it at him. He said, use this, place it on the floor and sit on this. It was this small act. It was this small act. This is a small act. We might think it is insignificant. But it affected Jarir bin Abdullah. This is how mu'asharat is created. He was aware and mindful that this is a person who needs space. Rasulullah ﷺ saw that this is a person who needs space. He has come so far, from so far. And let me accommodate him and give him some space. Very small thing. Another time, this also comes in Hayat al-Sahaba. Rasulullah ﷺ, he had a miswak, two miswaks, one crooked one, one straight one. A sahabi was there, companion was there. He kept the crooked one for himself and gave him the straight one. Kept the crooked one for himself and gave the straight one. This is a very small thing. We might think that this is insignificant. But this was why the sahaba were sahaba. This was why they devoted their entire lives for the purpose of deen, to call towards Islam. It was because of these small things. Rasulullah ﷺ had created this mu'asharat. He had created this atmosphere where he was good to each and every single person. No, sahaba could not tell. The companions could not tell that who was more beloved until the Prophet said it. And we've heard this hadith many times, that one companion, he was treated so well by the Prophet ﷺ, he asked him a question, that who is most beloved to you? And then he started naming them. Because this, he thought that he was the most, but the way the Prophet ﷺ was interacting with him, the way he was dealing with him, it was this sociability of the Prophet ﷺ that encouraged the Sahaba to be great people. It was this sociability. Our akabirin, they have mentioned that man amila li akhiratihi kafahu Allahu amra dunyahu, that whoever works for his akhirah, whoever works for his akhirah, his focus is on the akhirah, his focus is on the day of judgment, his focus is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will suffice him for all of his umur in the dunya. All of his needs in the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will suffice him. Malfuzat of our akabirin, our elders. Then, وَمَنْ أَصْلَحَ سَرِيرَتُهُ أَصْلَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَانِيَتُهُ, that person who corrects his inside, who corrects his internal, he corrects everything internal, his ascetic actions, the internal actions, the ascetic actions. There's two actions, ascetic and ascetic. Ascetic are the zahiri actions, salat, zakat, hajj. Ascetic are the actions which are specific to the heart. So whoever corrects his heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will correct his alaniya. Aslaha Allahu alaniyatahu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will correct his zahir. So whoever corrects his batin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will correct. This is very important, that we must correct our hearts and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will correct our zahir. Because whatever is in our hearts, it will reflect. Whatever is in our hearts, people will see. People will see. Be more conscious of your character than your reputation. Be more conscious of your character than your reputation. Because your character is what you are, and your reputation is what people perceive you to be. Understand this? That be more conscious of your character than your reputation. We should be more conscious of our character. Because this is who we are. Our character is who we are. If people think that I am a person who always gets angry, then this is what I am. If I display this attitude of always getting angry, this is how people will take me. They will always say, well, this person is always angry. Or this person always has this kind of attitude. But people, nowadays they're more conscious of their reputation. It's the other way around. That people, oh, what are people going to say about me if I do this in the masjid or outside? Right. So they're basically, whatever we are doing, it is for the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't reward for this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards for the character, because our character is who we are. Our character, whatever we have inside, it is reflected outward. Our elders, finally they said that وَمَنْ أَصْلَحَ فِيهِ بَيْنَهُ بَيْنَ اللَّهِ أَصْلَحَ اللَّهُ مَا بَيْنَهُ بَيْنَ اللَّهِ, that whoever corrects that which is between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the relationship between the slave and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if that is correct, if a person corrects that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will correct that relationship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help him. When we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we take steps towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes running. But we need to initiate. We need to initiate that step. We need to initiate that effort. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the aid and nusrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to come. Maulana Yusuf Sahib, he would use the word ummat pana. Maulana Yusuf Sahib, this was a word that he used, ummat pana. That this is what we need to become. This ummat pana, being one ummat, ummathood. We need to be one ummat. And this is created, this kind of atmosphere is created by mu'asharat, being social, by looking at the sociability of the Prophet ﷺ, and by imbibing that, by imbibing the mu'asharat that was existent in the time of Medina. This is how we will be. This is how we will live. Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned that if the people of the world, if they started looking at the positives instead of the negatives of people, then many of the problems existent today, they will cease to exist. The problem is that people always look at the negatives. Oh, he's like this, he's like this, he's like this, he's like that. He doesn't have a beard. And this is how he talks. This is how he speaks. This is what he did. But they never look at the positives. A person has negatives, a person has positives, a person has good qualities, a person has bad qualities. People have good qualities, people have bad. This is a reality. People have good qualities. An-nasu ma'adin. Kama'adin al-dhahab wal-fidda. Sab log kaane hain. They all have, every person is a treasure. Just like mines, there's gold there, but there's also other rocks. There's also other minerals over there. But each and every single person, they have good qualities and bad qualities. We need to focus on the good qualities of the person. And this is why Maulana Ilyas Sahib and his effort was so successful. His efforts were so successful because he focused on the good qualities of the people. And then they became, because of focusing on that good quality, the people that he worked on became great people. And this is what we need to do. That to become one ummah, we need to focus on the good qualities. There's an incident in Hayatul Sabah that came to mind. There's Umar radiallahu anhu. He would always, when he was Khalif, he would carry his whip. He would always carry his whip. So once he accidentally, while he was making way, he accidentally hit Hazrat Ayaz, Iyas, not Iyas, Hazrat Iyas radiallahu anhu. So Hazrat Iyas, his son, Hazrat Salama radiallahu anhu. Iyas was his son. Iyas bin Salama is the one narrating this incident. So he said that my father was accidentally hit by the whip of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu once called this Hazrat Salama radiallahu anhu. And he said that I hear that you're going for Hajj, here's 600 dirhams. Why are you giving me 600 dirhams? He goes, well, a very long time ago, a year ago, I accidentally grazed you with my whip. So this is weighing on me. This is a burden on me. So I take this. He goes, but I don't even remember. I don't remember this even happening. He goes, but I do. And he insisted, and he gave that money. This was the mu'asharat of the Sahaba. Everything was taken from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of this was taken from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Well, let us look at our akabirin now. Remember another story. This one, I think Mufti Rafi Sahib told us in class. And Mufti Rafi Sahib, yeah, I think it was Mufti Rafi Sahib who told us in class. So Maulana Ilyas Sahib and Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani, they, rahmatullah alayhi, both of them had speeches. Right? The city was the same, venues were different. Right? So, they were great people. Or Akabirin, they were great people. Maulana Ilyas Sahib found out that Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani is giving a speech at a certain venue. This is ijtima. Maulana Ilyas Sahib was at an ijtima. So he told the people that I will not be delivering any speech. Everyone is requested to go to Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani's speech and participate there. So everyone started going there. Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani found out that Maulana Ilyas Sahib is giving a speech. So he told his Majab, there's no speech today. Go and participate with Maulana Ilyas Sahib. That day there was no speech. There was no speech. This was our love. This was the love of the Akabirin. They had so much regard for one another. So much regard for one another. And these are the things that we need to bring into our life. All of these things. These are not just stories. We need to bring these facets of deen. This is all part of deen. This is all part of religion. And if we imbibe each and every trait properly, then deen will not only come and enter into, the reality of deen will not only enter into us, but it will enter into the non-Muslims as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.